Hi, everybody. Welcome to the FinOps Nexus podcast. Our today's topic is, does FinOps have a lifecycle problem from end to end in your company? And joining me today is Devere. Devere, thank you so much for joining me.
Thank you so much for having me. I'm so excited to be here today.
All right, Devere, the topic today is we've got a lifecycle problem. I got to understand that. What are you talking about?
Awesome. Okay, so a bit of background maybe, so people will be aligned because we had some conversation before. Everyone is focusing on cost observability, which is awesome because they can do showback, chargeback, and understand how much things cost, which is amazing. But most of the cost observability platforms today also offer recommendations. So you have like these amazing case recommendations that you can act upon it, right? And optimize your environment. But I realized something, that something is missing from the process. So in the engineering world, there is a term called an end-to-end story and the definition of done. So what does it mean to have a recommendation of cost, right? And today I want to talk about the lifecycle, not the inform, operate, optimize lifecycle, but how to create an end-to-end story for recommendation, or how to integrate the lifecycle of an optimization item in your own company. Right, I think this is the thing that no one actually really talking about, because everyone's just they have so much recommendations to act upon, and they kind of get lost with all that noise, so they can't really manage those items and recommendations. So this is what I want to talk about with you today.
Devere, let me dive into that a little bit. When you say the end-to-end of FinOps for a company and the lifecycle of a specific recommendation, or FinOps as a whole?
I think that the operate and optimize phases are well defined in the lifecycle of a FinOps engineer, but not as an operative, like the actual function of how to monitor if recommendations are being done, if things are being tracked on time, are they under SLA, and if the engineering team saying they're going to do something, and then a month later you realize in the billing report that they've done nothing. So how do you manage that life cycle of that story, of that recommendation, when you find out what you need to do, you understand how to mitigate it, but you lack complete observability if it was done, and the engagement from the engineering team, not just to do things, but to actually inform you in a, let's say, a feedback loop that is currently missing from a lot of companies that I talk with. So there is no feedback loop. You have this cost observability platform that shows your recommendations. And then you go to your teams and say, listen, you have to do this. And they're like, okay. And then it's getting forgotten completely without any SLA or without any procedures in place to make sure that it will be an end-to-end story. And we're missing that definition of done when a recommendation is actually done. So I think there is a lot of focus that is missing from those area of how to, from the operational side, how to manage those recommendations in a company. And the life cycle of those recommendations is something that is awesome to do, right?
Isn't one of the key things of FinOps observability, right? You have the reports. So as a FinOps practitioner or the lead for the FinOps, I'm looking at this report and it says to me, hey, you need to right size this instance, right? We're just going to use instance as a term. Okay, we figured it out. We pass it on to the engineers and they say, yes, we're going to do this. We cut our ticket, or we're going to get this done, right? And then a month later, it keeps filing up in the reports. Are you talking about the end-to-end of getting that done and the visibility of actually completing that action so that there is some accountability towards it?
Exactly. And I love that word, right? Because it does generate accountability. I'll give you an example from the production area. So if we have, for example, a bug and there is a ticket that was open in Jira, for example, and then it was assigned to someone, which is awesome. And then it just moves from one sprint to another. So it's not really being handled. And to create that SLA, to create the life cycle of that, how do we fix bugs in a company? For me, it's the same, because I want to be everything about engineering in FinOps. I don't know if you've heard, but I think that the life cycle, when we move to recommendations, we want to make sure that it's not just being visible or aggregated into a specific team and assigned, and they are saying, okay, it's in our to-do list. It shouldn't be in a to-do list. It should be done. And the life cycle process of making recommendations come to life This is something that we're missing from most of the tools and most of the platforms today in FinOps.
Devere, let me read you some stats because this really seems like engineers taking action, right? Yeah. So in 2021, the challenges was 39%, right, of engineers taking action. And then in 2022, we were down to 30%, a 9% decrease. But I think what those numbers is they don't realize is that more people took the survey. So it kind of spread out and thin out some of those things. Then in 2023, we were down to like 29%. And in the latest 2024, it actually fell off the primary, like a key thing. And it was just a secondary, a supporting thing of engineers taking action. You get down to that last part of actually taking an action onto this instance. How do you hold them accountable to take that and then actually monitor that that action was performed? Because in that time, it's more cost to your business.
Exactly. So the way that that we should approach it is by automating or governing the process of once a recommendation is being created until it was closed and the definition of done of like mitigation or exclusion is happening. And that track, that life cycle of an open track of recommendation item should be well-defined within the company. So if you don't have those organizational policies, not just tagging with something like that, but to create that life cycle of the beginning of when we're creating an item until it was done and mitigated and everyone's happy. So I think that taking action is simple. I just wrote a post saying that if a tree falls in the forest and no one measured the data about the fall, did it really fail? Did it really fall? And it does, right? I mean, if engineering are taking action and doing optimizations, this is awesome for us. But we also need to make sure that the FinOps engineer or the FinOps persona need to make sure that all the recommendations are being attended to. And I think there are a lot of recommendations that are currently in the pipeline of engineering teams without any traceability or, as you beautifully said, accountability from the engineering teams to actually do those and to apply them to a sprint and to apply them in an organizational policy of SLA or when it will be done. And I think organizations that will focus more on creating automations around that area of life cycle of recommendation items will make sure that there will actually make the engineering teams more engaged and more accountable to do FinOps items as part of their day-to-day.
One of the challenges that I see with all the recommendations, actually two of the challenges, one is they're manual, right? There's no automation in place to actually tackle these recommendations that are coming down, like do this, whatever it is. And then it's an engineer actually performing those. And I think automation will solve so many of those problems. The other thing is there's no process in place for you to track that accountability throughout the life cycle of changing it. You as the FinOps lead, you're telling not only the business, the engineering to go ahead and tackle these problems, but then you're doing so many other things, you actually don't get a chance to come back. And while they're sitting on the list, you in your mind is like, yeah, they're getting done. And a month later, they haven't been done.
Exactly. That's exactly my point. And I don't think this area is taking enough focus from the FinOps community. And I really believe that when we create an organizational policy on what is a FinOps task and what we're expecting from the engineers to do, it will make a lot more sense and will drive more change in the company from the cultural side and from the accountability side. And one more thing, if I may, this is what I did back at Wix. So today I moved company, today I'm at Weave. But when I worked at Wix, what we did was to create a life cycle for recommendations. And instead of babysitting those, we actually did automations on top of multiple tools. So we get alerting on breach of SLA and we get the statuses of each action item that we implemented or asked to implement in the engineering teams. And we gain those visibilities on what the status of what we created or what we recommended to do. So I think that my point is we're missing a lot of good opportunities, low risk, low effort to do things, but we don't have the trackability or the way to, as you said, automate it to, and most of our part is being babysitting on recommendation agendas instead of, you know, doing amazing things in FinOps. So I just want to, you know, increase the awareness of this is not just a recommendation. We have to talk not just about creating recommendations, which is the phase that most of the companies are at, but to how to act upon them by using automations. This is amazing, but also how to manage the life cycle based on organizational policies and SLAs. And I love that word, right? It does create accountability. It does create engagement from the engineering community because it's not just, yeah, it's based on goodwill, but it's based on what we expect you to do.
Devere, do you think some of the challenges for companies that are either with FinOps, implementing FinOps, is that one, they're trying to do too much at once. They're trying to tackle too many things at once, and they're trying to do too much too fast?
Yes.
Well, that answers that question. Thanks for filling in.
I've seen it in large scale companies. So it's less of an issue if your cloud environment is not large or your technological stack is not vast. So I think most FinOps engineers are, I mentioned it before, are being drowned with recommendations, especially if those recommendations are resource-based recommendations. So they're not looking at a workload or a cluster, but they're looking at a specific resource and give you those recommendations based on that. And there is a lot of noise to be done. And instead of working with teams specifically, you're working per resource. And this distribution of recommendation is very hard without any automations or mapping to owners out of the box. And I know there are a lot of tools today that will give that accountability or visibility on who the owner of the resource is. So we're moving in the right direction. But we also have the ability with different vendors to create automations on top of that and say that any underutilized or right-sizing agenda or anything that is idle or anything that we need to improve in our infrastructure based on monitoring, everything on those resources related to either this agenda or this owner, and then the governance of doing or acting upon recommendations make things a lot simpler because instead of, you know, building the Lego blocks, you're building buildings. No, that's not a good.
That was a good. Devere, I'm going to jump in real quick. Because that's all right. Do you think like one of the other challenges is that a lot of the automation tools that are out there are performing or recommending things based off of resources and not the application as a holistic, as a whole view?
Yes, but I don't think it's their own problem. I think that most companies doesn't really specify or categorize multiple resources into one workload. So it's getting a bit difficult. I've seen a lot of companies doing amazing tagging strategy. I've seen a lot of organizations doing attribution based on the workload or what is installed on the instance for specific. But I also seen our architecture based on accounts that are isolated and immutable for different workloads or organizations that are splitting their workloads in a meaningful way so they can extract the data out of the box. So I think we're going in the right direction. But again, it doesn't, even if we reduce the number of recommendations to a manageable one, we still need to make sure that there is a lifecycle policy to create an end-to-end story for those items.
Devere, before I wrap things up, my last question is, and we touched on a little bit throughout the conversation on, but I really want you to dive in for the next 30 seconds. How do you tackle this problem? What are some of the things that you could recommend to others to approach the problem of actually handling a resource, you know, the life cycle from start to end?
Okay, so 30 seconds, go. First of all, statuses. So you need one single place to manage the status of your recommendation, not just to understand there is a recommendation, but to understand what the status is. Is it open, in progress? Is it completed or done? Who is the assignee? So this kind of a layer of operational overview on what the status of the recommendation, but a lot of automations. So you can actually build automation on top of that and create reports where you need to focus most based on the biggest cost savings that you can do based on the owners that the recommendations refer to.
Awesome. Well, Zavier, thank you so much for joining me for this FinOps Nexus podcast.
Thank you so much.
All right, everybody. Wait, I'm going to redo that ending. Actually, I'm going to redo it for you and I. So Zavier, I got to wrap things up. Thank you for joining me.
Thank you so much for having me. It's been amazing.
Well, everybody, this has been the FinOps Nexus podcast. Don't forget to hit that like, subscribe, and notify because we're out of here.
Woo.
I like that ending. That was good.